Well, good morning and welcome to those worshiping online. It's good to be together this morning. It's been said that the opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak. All right, it's going to take a little while for that to, for you to catch up with that. We've all shared the experience of not being heard. When the other person has sort of turned the dial, they've tuned you out. And we've also shared the experience of being on the other side of that and not listening. Certain sounds, they're registering, and I can see your lips flapping, but honestly, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm really not listening, I'm just queuing up my own story. We know what it's like to not be heard. Are we equally aware of when we've stopped listening? Because listening is essential to blessing. It's part and parcel of the blessing is to listen well. God, through the prophet Isaiah, gave us this invitation: give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. You want to experience the blessing of all that God has for us? It's all wrapped up in listening well. It's been God's purpose from the very beginning to create, to bless, and to invite people to return to him again and again and again. Very early on, God said to Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and through you, all nations will be blessed." And as followers of Jesus Christ, we're recipients of that blessing. And as a result of that, then, we're to be a blessing that all nations would experience the goodness and the love and the grace of God in Christ. And so if you and I want to discover our purpose in life, it starts with this intention to bless. B-L-E-S-S, there I can spell, we're all proud, great. But it's an acronym, B-L-E-S-S, bless. Means that we must first begin with prayer. We looked at that last week, and then today we seek to listen. That's the L. We aim to listen to people and to places with whom we interact, to listen for the purpose of understanding where God is at work, and how is it, God, that you may want me to be part of your purpose of blessing. This summer, we're reminding each other that we are blessed. We are a blessed people for the purpose of being a blessing. And we're calling one another to what is a lifestyle of blessing, not just a random act of kindness, but to a lifestyle of blessing, a way of loving others that each of us can practice to the end that people experience the love of God and desire to return to him. And so what is the blessing? What is the blessing to you? What is the blessing to me? Because if we're going to share the blessing, it's a part of that is being able to put into words what it is that we're describing when we talk about the blessing of God in our lives. So I asked myself that this week, what is the blessing to me? What is the blessing of God's presence and purpose in my life? How am I experiencing his blessing? And these words came to mind rather quickly, actually. The first one, acceptance. Is that not a powerful part of the blessing? It is for me to be loved and accepted just as I am. I love what one says when he says, God loves you just as you are, not as you ought to be. Because there's hope in that for me and for us. See, made in the image of God, you and I are of great worth and value. We are loved because God loves. And I thought about meaningful relationships. I can't think about the blessing apart from meaningful relationships. I mean, the blessing of God at work in my life is all wrapped up in the people of God and the relationships that I've been blessed with. Meaningful relationships within family. Meaningful friendships. Meaningful commitments within this body, this community of faith here and others. And so I can't think about the blessing apart from thinking about the relationships and the people that God has blessed me with. And when we talk about relationships and people, at least in my life, then comes the need for forgiveness. And isn't that one of the aspects of the blessing? Forgiveness. Peter thought he was being real generous when he said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? How about seven? I mean, that seems real generous. And then Jesus blew that out of the water and he said, God's generosity is 7 times 70. That you and I would experience forgiveness in accordance with the riches of God's grace. That is part of the blessing, forgiveness. And then purpose. It's what we're talking about, that I would realize that my life, that you would realize that your life, that we do not live our lives unto ourselves, but we belong to each other. And that's a powerful purpose, that we live in relationship with others to bless and experience the blessing. And then this last one is hope. Hope. I don't know, each year I get older, and so do you, by the way. Thanks, Captain Obvious, for that. But as I get older, I find myself needing to experience a stronger and a more certain hope and a future to move me through what becomes increasingly uncertain and changing. And so hope to deal with the uncertainties that may come tomorrow, hope to deal with the changes that come as we get older and grow and move on. Hope. And where does the hope come from that does not disappoint us? It comes from God and his love, because it is this experience that God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he's given. Hope is all wrapped up in the blessing and in knowing Jesus Christ. And so God's blessing in our lives is what we want for others. We need to be able to describe that in ways that other people can start to see and hear and experience that with us and know what is the blessing that we're describing. And you know what? Passing on the blessing can seem like a daunting challenge. I want to remind us that passing on the blessing is not about having our lives all presentable and our houses all finished and just so. Rather, it's about inviting people into our life story in ways that they are actually able to see and to hear and to experience Jesus present and at work and our lives under construction, under the guidance of the master carpenter who is Jesus Christ. That our character and our lives are becoming more and more like him. That we're under construction. And I want to just simply encourage one another to open the door to our friends and our coworkers, to our neighbors, that they would see that our lives are under construction and that Jesus Christ is at work. And that's the blessing. And it begins as we pray, and then that door of blessing is held open by listening. And so sharing the blessing is inviting people to return to God. It's about listening well to them and to places and understanding. And we can do that. I can do that. You can do that. We can live a lifestyle of blessing. Jesus demonstrated what it looks like to listen well when he encountered a blind man. It's recorded for us in Luke chapter 18, beginning verse 35. We read that as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Jesus' example heightens my sensitivities to the following realities. First, hearing and listening are not the same things. This is a lesson in the obvious this morning, isn't it? Hearing and listening are not the same things. Some in the crowd, they heard the man's question and they responded with information. The blind man asked what was happening and they simply told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." That's it. It's all you asked for. It's all we're going to give you. End of story, information only. in response, he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Is it not clear that he was wanting more than information? But that's all they gave to him. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to shut up. See, many heard the man cry out, but no one listened except one. And I wrestle with this passage at this very point because I ask myself, why might I imagine, why might you imagine that the crowd responded to the blind man? By the way, he has a name. His name is Bartimaeus, the way that they did. Why do you suppose they silenced him and told him to shut up? Well, you know, we've heard that voice before. You know, kind of a squeaky wheel, it just continues to grind away. It was common practice in those days for the blind and the lame to sit by the city gates to beg for what they needed each and every day, month in, month out, year in, year out. We've heard that squeaky wheel. It's not likely that his situation is going to change anytime soon. I mean, I'm not holding out a lot of hope. It's kind of embarrassing. You know, it's kind of annoying. It actually kind of grates on me. It's a little tiring. It kind of freaks me out. It makes me afraid when that guy keeps calling out the way he does. See, Jesus has greater purposes than to pay attention to a blind beggar. I mean, large crowds had assembled to follow him to Jerusalem. The momentum had been building regarding hopes, expectations that Jesus, Messiah, was soon to drive out the Romans and reinstate Israel. Jesus certainly has bigger fish to fry than to deal with this blind man. Can't say that I've ever been in the shoes of a blind man crying out for help like Bartimaeus. But I have walked in the shoes of those who lived with the man, who heard the man but didn't listen. You know, the crowd may have had its reasons for silencing the blind beggar, but I'm not sure that I'm able to explain my selective hearing. It's kind of troubling. Kind of tired. You know, I've heard that voice before, and it's not likely that her situation is going to change much or anytime soon. I'm just not holding out a lot of hope for them. It's kind of embarrassing. You know, when the person just keeps talking about their situation and need, and I just get kind of embarrassed about it. It's kind of annoying, frankly. It kind of freaks me out. I mean, it makes me feel afraid. Honestly, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I feel inadequate when they tell me their situation and their story. And honestly, I'm just a little overloaded. You know, I just can't handle one more story, one more need. All those little connectors on my Lego block life, they're all full. And I don't think there's one more place to make one more linkage. Well, how do you suppose the crowd reacted when Jesus turned to the blind man, stopped, and he called the man to him? Can't be certain. Likely, though, most were caught off guard and the noise of the crowd started to subside. We know from other settings that even the strongest opposition, the most disruptive forces, even the winds and the waves were calmed at Jesus' command. So it's entirely possible that when Jesus turned and faced the blind man, when he came to a stop and ordered the man be brought to him, that all which was disruptive and deaf was silenced. See, Jesus heard and demonstrated that he was listening. And he still does. To your life and to mine. Well, listening is best done face to face, not from a distance. It's a tough reminder in a day of technology. Listening is best done face to face, not from a distance. Why? Because to listen requires that the eyes, that the ears, that the heart, and yes, even the mouth be engaged in the process of listening. And we'll talk about when to engage our mouths in the listening. It's usually later, not sooner, in the process. If more than half of what a person communicates is nonverbal, then how is it possible to listen well without using your eyes to see? David McNiff, who's a professor at Chicago University, says that to study language by listening only to utterances is to miss as much as 75% of the meaning. Nonverbal cues are produced and received below the level of conscious awareness. They give our interactions kind of the look and the feel that we remember long after the words have faded. Listening requires all of one's senses be engaged in the process of understanding and responding with empathy. Jesus listened with his whole being. He engaged every aspect of his life. He offered the blind man his full attention. Do you think that the blind man could sense Jesus' eyes fixed upon him? Do you think that the blind man Bartimaeus felt Jesus fully engaged listening to him? Maybe, just maybe, Jesus came so close to Bartimaeus that he actually breathed upon him. How close does Jesus come to your life and to mine? Maybe just a breath away. And it seems that individuals with disabilities such as blindness or the loss of hearing, they tend to develop heightened senses. They're able to experience the world and responses of others around them in most unique ways. Perhaps a primary reason that Jesus listened so well was that the man might feel the blessing of being heard. Do you want to experience the blessing of being heard? It's way more than just words. And then what to make about Jesus' question to the man. What do you want me to do for you? It's such a curious question, isn't it? I mean, is it not obvious what he might want you to do for him, Jesus? He's blind. You are the Son of God. And so you just have to raise the question. What about Jesus' open-ended question to this man? I have to believe that it was far more than just obtaining information. It was way more than just a mere formality. I mean, wasn't it about affirming something of a human connection, the human contact and the worth of Bartimaeus that was affirmed? To draw out from Bartimaeus a measure of his own faith. All these things and so much more, I'm sure, were behind Jesus' question. Makes me wonder what Jesus listened for in the life and the cry of Bartimaeus and what Jesus may be listening for in my life and in your life as well. How about what Jesus is listening for in the lives that those we seek to bless? Because that's kind of what we're trying to tune into as well. Well, Jesus engaged his whole being, his eyes, his ears, and yes, his mouth by listening well. When he asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" See, listening is a function of all of these organs, eyes, ears, heart, and yes, mouth. So how to engage my mouth in listening well? Frankly, it's a real challenge for me to come to terms with. Because I know about having a monologue. Maybe I'm having that right now, even as I speak. And I know about one-upsmanship around telling my story next and kind of queuing up my response. Just not sure I know how to ask a question. So I read a little resource I have, and this little book had some helpful questions, so I wrote them down for myself and thought they'd be helpful perhaps to you too. If I want to invite discovery If I want to be part of where God is at work in the life of another and be part of the blessing, then maybe I might ask this question. Do you see yourself as a religious or a spiritual person? Might be helpful for me to understand a little bit about how they understand their own story in the grander story of spiritual realities. And how is what you're experiencing currently affecting your view of God? That seemed like a practical question because it allowed them to speak about what they're experiencing and then make the connections and kind of link it up with how they feel that maybe there's a certain distance. Maybe there's a certain gap. Maybe no one is listening, and that's unsettling. And then what values are important to you? Because what I've discovered is that sometimes when I meet with people and interact with them, it's not always the easiest thing to do when they're hurting and in need. Sometimes you feel their heat. Sometimes they're angry. And it's not easy to listen into that. But what I'm learning is that just beneath the anger is fear. And just beneath the fear is vulnerability. And just beneath the vulnerability are things of value and worth that the person is experiencing and nobody's listening. They're going undeveloped. Maybe they've even been violated or boundaries crossed. See, beneath the anger is the fear. Beneath the fear is the vulnerability. Beneath the vulnerability is the value. And that's where we want to go, right? Because that's where God does his best work, is in that place where each of us feel our vulnerability and we desire to grow and experience the blessing. So asking this kind of a question leads to discovery. Not just for me, but primarily for the individual as they even respond to the question. So we listen to people. We listen to people. Marriage researcher and therapist John Gottman teaches that happy couples know their spouse's map, he says, or location, which is kind of a nice way to frame this up about trying to understand how do I listen to this person and get a read on them, sort of a geo-relational kind of a, I don't know if they make an app for this, but it's some way to kind of figure out where are they at, what's important to them, and how is it that I might like to see their life, and they might like to see their life move forward in returning to God. So I got to figure out, where are they at? What's their location? So he says, happy couples ask each other questions like this. What are you most excited about? What are you most concerned about these days? Honestly, the simplest questions, and I kind of wonder when was the last time I asked my spouse that. Think about it. He says, bottom line is happy couples ask each other these kinds of questions. It's not rocket science. And when it comes to blessing others, we must listen for the location of their lives. We can't just assume that we know what to do for the people with whom we come into contact with. I'm real good at that. We need to ask them questions like, what do you need? What are you excited about? What challenges are you facing these days? How may I help you? You know, one of my favorite stories, and I've shared it here before, but it's been enough years that I thought I could revisit it, and it's just this powerful experience of being part of what God was doing in the life of a buddy of mine to extend the blessing. And it's really about listening. My friend Dave, and now right away you're thinking that's a big crock because your name is Dave, and now you're going to tell a story about Dave, and I got another story about another Dave, and but it's a true story, and some of you in this room can verify this for me. Dave and I went to kindergarten all the way through graduation together. Then when we graduated from high school, we kind of lost touch with each other. You know, that happens. You kind of go separate ways. I went the little bit more traditional route, maybe a little more formal way, and Dave went off to Lake Tahoe to deal blackjack and kind of live the life, you know. And it was 12 years that passed, and we didn't have any contact with each other. I was serving here at the time, and no kidding, one day, Dave connects with my brother-in-law, Steve, third-year dental students at the time at the University of Minnesota. They're doing a lab, and they start making these connections about common places and people like Rochester, which is my hometown. And Dave's from Rochester, and Steve says, "You wouldn't happen to know my brother-in-law, Dave." And Dave's jaw just about hits the floor. And that's when the listening began. We reconnected at Annie's in Dinkytown and came into that place and you know, kind of looked at each other from across the way. And, yeah, I could kind of see certain glimpses look different. I mean, he had the look, man. He had the flow going, and he got the beard, and he got the little glasses. And then there's me next to him. And I mean, this is like a study in contrast. And I said to Dave in our conversation, I said, "What have you been up to?" And he said, "Well, the last 6 years before going to dental school, I was dealing blackjack in Lake Tahoe and skiing and just kind of bumming. And yeah, it sounded great and things." And then I knew he was going to ask me about my track. And he said, "How about you? What have you been up to?" Oh, man. You could hear a pin drop. So I told him, and he looked at me, and he kind of seriously looked dazed, and he said, "So you went to like seminary or theology school or something, and now you're a priest?" And he said, honestly, he said, this is what he said. He said, "That must have been a hell of a trip." Excuse my language, but that's how people that we seek to bless talk, right? I mean, I'm not talking about my colleagues. I'm talking about the people we seek to bless. I mean, that's just how he said it. And then the listening began. And over a year and a half, he made a trek here every Saturday morning to be part of a group of guys that were doing a Bible study. He would come from South Minneapolis Saturday morning, be here by 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning. Then he'd come over to our house and hang out. And then we'd see him on Sunday, and he'd come over after church and kind of mooch off us. And then we'd, you know, and he and I, we went back and forth about the Vikings and the Packers. And let me just be clear, he's the, you know, I'm the Viking fan, he's the Packer, and all this stuff. And about a year and a half later, he called me one day, and he said, Dave, my life's a wreck. He said, "My girlfriend, I thought was my fiance, left me. My dad died of lung cancer 9 months ago, and my mom has advanced stage breast cancer. She's going to die." And he said, "Honestly," he said, "my life's a wreck, and I don't know many people that have a sense of hope or foundation, but I know you." And I thought, "You got to be kidding me. I mean, you know my life. You've been in my home. You know my impatience with my kids. You know my fears and my challenges. You know all the stuff. You know I'm a Vikings fan, and you're suggesting I have hope? I mean, you're like the Packer guy. So it's got to come from somewhere." I just love Dave. And all this while, I'm thinking, here I am trying to listen well and bless him, and I realize that he's listening to my life way better than I was listening to him. And he picked up on something in the midst of all that day-to-day construction stuff, that Jesus Christ is real and at work in my life, and that there's hope. So it's just such a joy and a blessing. And I can tell you, all these years later now, Dave walks with the Lord. He is active in a ministry with other men. It's just an awesome thing. So listen to people, because you'll experience a blessing. And then listen to the places, the communities within which we work and serve and coach. Listen, you're in a strategic place that I may never get to because I'm a pastor. You know, there are certain restricted places where the pastor doesn't get invited, but you're there. You're there to be a blessing, right? But when you serve on that community board, you're there for a purpose, to listen well. When you're a coach in our community, you're there to be a blessing. Because you listen to the lives of those kids and you learn about their families and you realize opportunity to be a blessing. There's so many initiatives that we have underway here at Westwood that are intended to listen better to the lives of people. One of them I'm excited about and want to get off the ground is one that is intended to listen well and be a blessing to individuals and families dealing with emotional, mental health, and addiction issues. And would that not be just about most of us in some way, shape, or form? And then how about a ministry to our workplace? To realize that as we go to work, we're in that context to be a blessing. And how about ministries of initiatives to those that are grieving and dealing with loss? And we could go on and on. Listen to places. And then listen to understand. You know, it can be such a challenge to listen, to understand, to hold space, to hold hope when a person in need is sharing with you. I get this. Man, I tell you, it's a challenge to me to hold open this space and to hold hope when people come and talk about challenging things. And I think, Lord, would you just help me to listen? Would you just help me to trust that you alone are able to do in this person's life what I could never begin to even attempt or understand? That's what you're being asked to do in listening, is trust Christ with what you're hearing. Lord Jesus, would you help us to listen and to listen well and to trust you with the concerns and the cares of those we would seek to bless? We pray in your name. Amen.